Harvest Siftings.
The most important event that is taking place at the present time, it's not the seeking out of bin Laden dead or alive. No. The most important event that's taking place at the present time is the sealing of the servants of God in their forehead. It's Revelation 7, 2 and 3 when it says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt not the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now, every wise virgin should appreciate their privileges at the present time. These privileges are not just their own favored position, wherein their own intellectual sealing with present truth is taking place. Additionally, each one should be thinking of what's even of greater importance, which is being engaged in the harvest work of sealing others of the weak class and then gathering them into the barn of security. Now, this period that we're in is, to say the least, it's different from all other times, mainly because the spirit-begotten class, they're able to recognize those that are getting sealed. And they have associated with these, and really with only these, in volume. It's been in a volume uncompared to any other time in the gospel age. This is a period of time that many of us didn't feel that it would be lasting as long as it's lasted. Even though the volume has decreased, there isn't anywhere near the same amount of numbers. But even so, time is running out because the great darkness which has to precede the glorious day is dawning. You know, the morning cometh, but also the night. Now, it's going to be a time of trouble such as was not since there was a nation. It's Matthew 24 when it says, "For then shall be great tribulation." There shall be great tribulation, as was not since the beginning of the world in this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, you know, Brother Russell said that prophecy cannot be understood in detail until it's been fulfilled or it's in the course of fulfillment. Now, this Lord's Day that we talk about, which is prophetically recorded, well, it's the day that the Lord returned as a thief in the night. That happened in 1874. The Lord is present. And he's been present ever since 1874. Well, if this is the case, then why don't we see evidences of restitution taking place? Well, additionally, the reality of the matter is the dark night wherein no man can work, it hasn't set in yet, nor has the judgments against Christendom and its destruction taken place. You know, the key to understanding where we are on the stream of time, it requires acknowledging the Lord returned in 1874, and as yet the church is not complete. Now, while the church class is not complete, what did happen, what actually did take place from 1874 on, is the first resurrection began. And also what started on that date was the returned Lord as the honored agent of the Father, he started the process of tearing down the old order. But you know, when he started this process, he didn't proceed to accomplish it in the way that man would do it. You know, the way man would do it, they'd stick a bomb under it or hit it on top with a cruise missile and just blow everything to pieces right out of sight. But instead, the returned Lord has centered all of his involvements with humanity to a very restricted area. And that is, as we said, the saints getting an intellectual sealing of harvest truths. Well, what are these truths? Well, we'd like to read Luke 12:42 from the Good News Bible. It says, "The Lord answered, 'Who then is the faithful and wise servant?' And then he answers it. He says, 'He is the one that his master will put in charge to run the household and to give the other servants their share of the food at the proper time.'" Or, as we have been saying for decades now, "The Lord, through his servant, he has been serving meat in due season." Well, this meat has been the harvest message that was delivered by the seventh messenger. But, and a very important but here is, that's not all. Another thing that the Lord did when he returned in 1874 was the fact that he brought with him a portion of knowledge. He brought with him a portion of knowledge that really belongs to the kingdom. It belongs ahead of time. It just never existed before. Now, this knowledge that he brought forth, amongst other things, it has allowed man to go to and fro. It's allowed them to go to and fro at a speed and in a manner that Sir Isaac Newton didn't have any comprehension about whatsoever. Now, Pastor Russell said that during the times of restitution, and that is, you know, when the resurrection is actually going to be taking place, well, during that time, some very lightly will say that they could do all that the glorified body of Christ was doing. They could also do it if they only had the foreknowledge that the Lord had when he began the restitution project. But you know, the truth of the matter is, they had this increased knowledge during the time of preparation. They got this foreknowledge. The world's gotten this foreknowledge and the benefit of this foreknowledge from 1874 on. It's just that they didn't know how to use that knowledge. Instead, what man did, they went ahead and invented this computer. And that's not all. They created rocket power and atomic power. A man's made rapid increases in knowledge, but the most important aspect of his knowledge was he couldn't handle it. He needed the Lord to give him direction. But instead, what he did, he asked Satan for direction. And Satan just jumped right in. And he did the opposite of what God wanted established. Well, God permitted this. He permitted it to happen so that the returned Lord in the kingdom, he is going to enable everyone to realize, and they're going to realize this to the greatest depth possible, that no creature can function properly if they are alienated from the supreme being. Now, the Lord is going to remind man that it was their independent choice to ask Satan for help instead of asking God. And this lesson is going to affect all God-like creatures for the rest of eternity. Well, at the same time that the Lord was permitting man to make his incorrect choice, the Lord, as quietly as a thief in the night functions. He served meat to the wheat class. It was the harvest message. It was due season for this to take place, and that message resulted in the largest separation from Christendom that had ever taken place during the Gospel Age, really. But when the when the unprepared, or I should say, when the under-shepherd, can't even read my own writing, how about that? But when the under-shepherd that the Lord used, when that shepherd died, you know, the picture changed. A bedlam was created. You know, that harmonious wheat class that was expanding so quickly, that whole household just exploded. And everyone seemed to be going in a different direction. Because, you know, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep scatter. Now, the Lord knew this would happen. It wasn't an unforeseen development. It was a test. It was a test for the wheat class as a whole. You know, from the day of Pentecost on, the Spirit-begotten new creation, it has been having a wide variety of experiences. It's not going to be until the body is actually complete and everyone is actually on the other side of the veil. Only then are the members going to benefit, really benefit, from one another's experiences. It's not going to be until the body is complete that this will be a reality, because this is how the body will be able to be a merciful high priest. And there is going to be a background in everyone's life. Everyone will have unique, specific experiences that differ with other body members. And that background that each one will have is going to serve its intended purpose from that moment on. When all these individual members, they're all compressed together into one single unit. And then you're going to have a body that is going to have feelings of every kind, and these feelings are going to be based on experience. And it's going to be so penetrating, the effects of that one unit, that, you know, it can't be explained. It can't be described at the present time. Since the first resurrection began in 1874, we find the dark night wherein no man can work and the glorious day dawns. We find that this, along with the resurrection of the ancient worthies, none of this has taken place. And it just can't take place. It can't happen. Not until every faithful wheat member is changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now that doesn't mean, though, that doesn't mean that the returned Lord isn't active during this period of time. Because the most critical factor that will enable the bride of Christ to fulfill its intended destiny, well, that factor is the extent that each member really trusted that their master was completely in charge. He was in charge of each one of us personally. And this factor is constantly being challenged today, though. But just like for the world of mankind in general, we find that since 1874, they have been establishing the fact that they can't handle even the slightest amount of kingdom knowledge without divine guidance. And so right today, we find that while all humanity wants to keep trying to use their increased knowledge in a way that their wisdom feels is going to benefit mankind, well, all of us, all of us who trust in the Master, well, we realize that they aren't going to find the right way. They aren't going to do the right thing. That's not going to happen until that last member goes beyond the veil. And when that happens, well, then the Lord will say, it's enough. Peace be still. Then the fifth universal empire is going to get instituted. Now, in this same period of time, true footstep followers are having experiences that just never transpired during the whole age. Well, what kind of experiences has this body been having that's so different? Well, it's sifting and shaking experiences. You know, since the seventh messenger died, the weak class that stood out as a sanctified group, separate from Christendom, well, with his death, they were decimated. It's critical that we realize and we continue to realize that the returned Lord is the guide for this exclusive group. This group that constantly have had and still have, it seems, more questions than they have answers. But this group, it's different. It's even different from the rest of the footstep followers during the whole age. This final group, it will also be a part of that whole body, that compressed body of individuals, wherein each one has a mental background of imperfection. Now, this variety that each one has, this is what will enable the body of Christ, together with his head, to be a merciful high priest. Each individual since 1916 had, and they have, at the present time even, they have in them the harvest message. Now, what has caused the decimation to this group from that day on? It has been the way that each one used that meat that's in them. Well, the risen Lord has been guiding all of these individuals. He has especially been careful with those who are actually properly submissive. He is personally directing each one through sifting and testing experiences. Well, we know what Jesus said to Peter about being sifted as wheat. There was a due time in Jesus' day by which the harvesting of the wheat of the Jewish age, it would take place. Jesus makes reference to this when he said to Peter in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." I, for one at least, have often thought of the similarities between Peter and Job as Satan desired to break and just destroy these individuals. Jesus was aware of Satan's thoughts about Peter, and he was well aware of the fact that Satan had already requested permission to concentrate his energies on overpowering Peter. Now, Jesus, in his prayer, especially singled out the fact that he wanted Peter exempted from the influences that Satan could extend over him. Jesus, in these texts that we read, he tells Peter that he didn't just pray for Peter ahead of time, but he also told Peter the reason for it. And that was so that Peter would get to be able to be spirit begotten. But there was a price for this. And Jesus was holding Peter responsible for advising all other spirit begotten souls. And he was held responsible for advising them that divine providence actually works. It works even before events transpire. Divine providence's role ever since 1916 has been to limit all events to a level wherein each one can be faithful and obedient. That can very easily be a reality. Now, this is the case especially when events go beyond human ability to control. You know, it's beyond each one of us to be able to master the situation, so to speak. Well, Peter, when baptized, he was baptized of the Holy Spirit. And he was also baptized with power as well. And in our harvest period, ever since the Lord's return, the risen Lord is guiding us. And he is exercising spiritual power over us. Now, of course, we know that the risen Lord does only so much. And then he expects each one of us to do our part as well. Now, I compare harvest siftings to Gideon's selection of 300 out of a total of 32,000 that could have been used. It's a process that establishes specific characteristics to be developed. Now, the desired characteristic is purity. And what must be kept pure is the heart. Now, a very common way in which the heart gets contaminated is its failing to keep the Word of God pure. Individuals do this. And they also do it in cooperation with other individuals. Now, in the history of the embryo new creation, this contaminating, it has been organized. It's been organized so that it has resulted in large segments of the household getting separated from the one Lord, getting separated from the one Spirit, from the one body. Now, the harvest started in 1874. That was the moment in time when the risen Lord, as the honored agent of the Father, he started to gather in and to judge all that was sown since really the fall of Adam. But we right now, we're mainly talking about the gathering and the judgments of his jewels. Now, we call this the harvest message. It's meat in due season. They're dispensational truths. The risen Lord, as the honored agent of the Father, he is the one who served the harvest message. The purpose for serving this meat in due season has been for the purpose of giving direction, of giving guidance for all the activity of the Spirit-begotten new creation. Now, during the harvest, the return Lord's message must be kept pure. It's got to be kept pure in order to get the proper direction. Now, this message that the return Lord lived, it continues to be the same. It continues to be the same message today. You know, this message that we ourselves even have, it's not going to change until right up to the point that the Lord begins the project of judging the world in righteousness. And that will be the restitution or the resurrection project here on earth. Now, this message that the Lord delivered, it has been the inspiration that has kept Bible students active. And well, this goes on. Some do get discouraged because, you know, Bible students have been doing this, it seems now, for generation after generation after generation. And today, we still have another generation that's coming up, and they're very young. I wonder if they said the same thing when I was very, very young. Now, what continues to take place, even in this new generation, is in all of these generations, sifting experiences will have to take place, and it will take place. Sifting experiences establishes who are going to be of the Gideon band of 300. It establishes who are keeping the truth or the harvest message pure. Now, the obedient keep it pure because they love righteousness. And that's the only reason they should do it. And thus, it would be perfectly safe to make them immortal. The harvest siftings started. They started with a great big bang or explosion at the beginning of the harvest. And what was at stake at that time? It was the fundamental doctrine of the Bible. And some brethren in 1878, they stopped believing in the ransom. And they were able to make converts. And they were large enough in numbers to cause friction. Well, that was a test. It was a trial. The original serving meat in due season by the Lord of the harvest that continues to take place. It hasn't missed a step, so to speak. It's growing according to divine intent. In fact, it's continued right to the very moment that we're active ourselves today. And all during this time, the Lord of the harvest, he's been supping with us. He's been right there in the middle of the spirit-begotten class. Now, he also has had to deal with time as he was in the middle of this group. The tendency with Bible students is they want to know more about his time and his schedule of things than they should. Now, when it becomes time to let the brother know just exactly when the new covenant is going to be inaugurated, the Lord will tell us. He'll make it known. But what the Lord will not do, what he will not do, is he is not going to give anyone advanced information as to when the door to the high calling is closed. Because it's just none of their business. Our business is to do the will of God, period. Now, additional trouble enters in when our priorities are not properly established. We heard a little bit about priorities already. You know, that roaring lion that's going around, he's well known to all of us. But what is not always kept in mind is this same roaring lion, he also takes on the appearance of an angel of light. Now, this false angel, in our time of the end, he is saying, the Lord didn't return. The resurrection of the sleeping saints haven't taken place. What you should do is you should dig deep in your Bibles, and you should chew on the meat that's there. And this angel of light, he wants to divert us by flattery. You know, he wants to inflate what he hopes is an eagle. And so he says, "You're more advanced. You don't need the milk of the word anymore. But of course, at the beginning of the age itself, back in the days of the Apostle Paul, this same angel of light said, well, the Lord already returned for the second time. He told the Thessalonians that the resurrection itself had already started to take place. Well, today, that sounds kind of foolish. But when it was first stated, it had successes. It made some accomplishments. The false angel of light, he's still around. And he is the one who causes these harvest siftings. He's still having successes as well. Now, our Master himself has said in Matthew 24 that as the world approaches its final phase of trouble, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. You know, in Noah's day, the destruction of the old world, it was imminent. When Noah was building the ark, they would ask him, "My, why are you doing that?" And Noah told them, but they refused to accept what he said. You know, even the carrying of all of those animals into that ship, it seemed so foolish to them until Noah and his family entered that ship, and then they closed the door behind themselves. Well, after that, the deluge came, and it was too late for everyone else. And so it is as the world is fast approaching its final phase of trouble. The Noah of today is just calmly telling everyone that the present order of society is about to be eliminated. Sounds foolish to them. They just ignore the warning, and they continue to live as they always have lived. What they refuse to accept is what God's embryo body of Christ is telling them. They refuse to recognize God's messengers. Now, these embryo new creatures, they're still on earth. We've got a room full of them right now. Now, this number is going to get smaller. It's going to be smaller than it was just a few generations ago. But there's still enough for it to be the salt of the earth. Now, this salt is what preserves the social order on earth, even though it's motivated by selfishness that Satan influenced. But it's going to continue. It's going to continue that way until there's no more salt. And then the deluge will come. Now, the beauty of the Noah class today is the fact that the world is completely unaware of the fact that they are God's messengers. What each one of us has in our vessels, it's the very characteristics of God himself. Now, these characteristics that we have within ourselves is what makes it possible for us today to be holy. That's one of his characteristics. To be righteous. That's another one. We're truthful. We have God's truth. Now, these characteristics prevents us from being compatible with the world. We're suffering at the present time, really. We're suffering for righteousness' sake. The adversities and the opposition that we experience as we put on the principles of God's righteousness, this is the sufferings of Christ. They should so thoroughly inspire us that we count every experience of adversity that we have as nothing more than light afflictions. And then, as the Noah of today, we're getting sealed in our foreheads. No, what we are, as this goes on, we're individual beacons of light. Actually, we are, and this is serious, we're not just a beacon of light, we're the only light that the world has at the present time. So don't put that light under a bushel. Let your light shine everywhere. Or let everyone witness the fact that your life itself is your, it's your greatest witness. It's your witness of the fact that you are a representative of God's principles of righteousness. And never, never for a moment forget the basic rule of the weak class. This basic rule of the weak class that still is applicable at this very late stage of the harvest of the gospel age. And that rule is, we need one another. We need one another. May the Lord add his blessing.